And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and at this point, it's my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Terry. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing great. It's good to be here. Good to be here. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. As I've told you guys, most of the time I tell you, we are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, and prayerfully Bible-obedient church. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. I'll go ahead and give you our phone number. It's 740-494-2222, and you can reach us at prospectccf.com. So how you been?
I've been fantastic. How about yourself? I mean, a lot going on still?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I will say this, that I it's becoming a little bit more difficult, and I think it is with everyone, not being able to do the things we'd like to do. And I know that one of the real things that I'm struggling with, and so are other people, is not being able to see the people that we care about. And whether it's family members that you're not able to see or at least hug, and church members that, you know, you're separated by some distance and they're not coming to church. And now when we were doing the drive-in services, I could still see them and a wave on as you go by, you know. But the weather hasn't exactly cooperated when we've needed it to. I thought it was going to rain last Sunday, so I just did it live from the church. And it didn't rain, but this Sunday it looks like it's not only going to be cold, but it's going to be wet. So it looks like this Sunday I'll be from the church again. But I think through the 1st of June, we're going to go ahead and try to meet drive-in if we can. And then after the 1st of June, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll make some decisions. But we've got some irons in the fire just in case we need to figure out a way to meet and yet social distance. It may even involve multiple services. I don't know. But I'm going to play it by ear.
But everything's on the table right now.
I think everything's on the table. I'm a little concerned as I talk to people. There's a lot of people that are starting to struggle at home a little bit and not being able to get out and do what they did. And that's kind of what I want to address tonight, Terry. Yeah. Just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, I was reading my Bible today, and I realized that, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote all of his, they called them the prison epistles. They were books that were written from prison. And he was either in jail or on house arrest when he wrote those. And kind of, we're kind of on house arrest, if you think about it, to a point. Here's someone that wrote books of the Bible that 2,000 years later, we are still feeding from every day. And he did those during a time of house arrest. And it made me think to myself, you know, who am I to whine about the situation I'm in when I can't go here, I can't go there? You know, I'll tell you, I would love to just sit down and have a good meal with somebody, you know, and relax
and talk
and do some of the things. It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
You know, a lot, we can think about if this would have happened years ago when we didn't have social media and couldn't even talk to anyone or couldn't travel. Actually, if you think about it, we still have more freedom than people did 100 years ago because, A, they didn't travel very far. They traveled in short distances. They walked most places. You know, on and on it goes. I mean, it's kind of cool when you drive through all of our rural countryside in America. There's all these little crossroad towns. Some still have buildings there. Some of the buildings are gone, or the remnants of them are still there. And it was like every 5 to 9 miles, I think is what the average was, 5 to 9. In every part of the United States that was rural, there was a little town. And they usually had a feed mill and maybe a little general store or a schoolhouse or something, and that's kind of where people stayed close-knit in that community. But they were still able to be close-knit within their community, and there were so, you know, churches were a huge gathering place. I've got a picture of my grandfather teaching a little boys Sunday school class. You know, they used to divide boys and girls in Sunday school. This is probably, I'm going to take it back to probably the mid-30s, mid to late 30s, and it was in Warrensburg, which is a little tiny crossroads that used to have a mill there and all kinds of stuff. School's not there anymore. The building is, but the school isn't. But anyway, I bet there were 20 little boys all in the same age group, you know, and so obviously their family came there to come together and be with each other and come together. So that's something we saw in years past, and I think this might be pulling us back to some of that thinking. I think that if the sun would come out, which I know we got at least a week because they say it's going to be cold through next Tuesday, but if the sun would come out and allow people to get outdoors more and do things, I think it would help a great deal. A lot of people went back to work, you know, a lot of people are still chomping at the bit to get back to work. And, you know, we're certainly keeping all of them in prayer. And I really have a deep burden for those people that are stuck in the nursing homes and cannot see family. You know, it's hard to be sick or laid up and not see anyone. I've been there, but I've not been in a place where I couldn't see anyone. So I can't imagine. It's hard enough just being sick or not being able to get out. But I think that's one of the areas that, you know, we've got to figure out a way to address. Because even if they have a way, you know, a lot of people are doing Skyping and what's one of the other ones they're doing?
Video chats.
Yeah, different video chats and whatnot they're doing. But, you know, go to those nursing homes and let those people video chat with their family, if at all possible. And I'm sure there's probably some doing that. But, you know, depression can be a very difficult thing. And it certainly is for some people. But we're continuing. We're continuing on our way doing Sunday services. I'm trying to update people during the week. If people go to Community Christian Fellowship's Facebook page, they would see I try to download other people's stuff. I try to download my sister's Bible stories when she tells those to her kindergarten class. And it's pretty interesting the way we do things. I married one of my best friends got married last Saturday, and I had the honor of marrying he and his wife, and that was a very different service than they planned. We had to stay under 10 people and keep social distancing, so that was very much different than we had planned it. But some ladies stepped in and just made the church beautiful for them and just did a wonderful job. And, you know, there's ways to get through these things. But, you know, when you really look at all the things that this is taking an emotional toll on, people that their weddings are kind of interrupted, funerals are kind of really in an interruption state. You know, the closure people get during the time of a funeral. The very fact of people being encouraged by other people and celebrating birthdays, celebrating anniversaries, all those different things that used to involve so many people, are suddenly we're not able to do that.
Well, and next month, my family, we're going to be experiencing a big celebration. My niece is going to have a baby, so I'm sure that's going to change. You know,
that'll be tough too. So that's kind of difficult. Yeah. But you know, the thing is, I think that it's causing us to begin to try to figure out some things that we haven't done in a long time.
Yeah.
And some things that are important, some things that we can still do that maybe we somewhat set aside. I've mentioned it several times about, you know, spending more time with your children, quality time, as far as one-on-one stuff that hadn't happened in a long time. I was talking to a fellow today, a friend of mine, and his family is very, very, and his wife especially is a ball coach, and they just, I mean, he kind of described it as you know, if, you know, whatever it is, the kids are trying out for it and they're playing it. She's just all about sports. And he said, you know, the thing that's happened in the last couple months is, he said, I've been able to go out with my kids and do outside stuff. And they've been able to do some of the stuff I like to do. And they're just running and playing. He said they've never had time just to go run and play. It's always hurry up and get ready for this. Hurry up, we're going to be late for that. You know, and he said, in that aspect, he said, I love it, and I hope it doesn't come back to being the way it was. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I've noticed is families that talk about, you know, sitting down and eating dinner together. You know, that was something as a culture we were losing. You know, families just grab a bite and go, grab a bite and go, and now actually they're home and actually doing that. And so I think that's a huge blessing. Another positive thing, and I encourage people to continue to do it also, is to is to check on people. Now, some of you out there may not think I'm checking on you, but I bet I am. You know, if I don't talk to you personally, I talk to other people that talk about them. I see them and those kind of things. And I want everyone in our congregation to know that, you know, they're in my thoughts and prayers all the time, as the whole church is. And last night we had a deacons and elders meeting, and the subject of the night was, you know, how are we keeping in contact? How are we making sure everyone's okay? What are our plans down the road? Because we have a very active, thriving church, and we want to keep it that way. And I think that everyone's been doing a pretty good job at that. I know that our you know, it's stressful on so many families. As time goes on, I know that our emergency personnel are getting more of the personal protective stuff they've needed. But that's still, every time you go out, you don't know. You know, you don't know what you're running into. And, you know, people that work, I've got family working in the hospitals, and it's difficult. But as every day goes on, I talk to people that everyone's so much wanting to get back to just some normalcy of things that they need to get done. Like I said, there's things that this has given us a break to reevaluate a lot of things that we do and don't do. And to see the response of what we do when people tell us to do things, how that all plays out. But I just think that we're going to get through this. If you asked me today, Pastor, what do you think the timeline of this is going to be over the next 6 months? I'd probably have to laugh, because quite frankly, I don't have the expertise to even give anybody an answer, and I'm not sure the people that should have it. So, you know, we're just going to have to play this by ear, do the best we can, try to accommodate each other, try to help each other out. But I definitely would encourage people to talk to people that may be going through some depression. And there's a lot of that starting to set in. Depression is a real thing. And people can't see family, friends. We've talked about different issues going on. I've got a granddaughter that her wedding's coming up, and they had this huge wedding plan. And as time rolls by, she literally is in limbo as to, are we going to have just close family? Because she's getting married regardless. She said that. She said, we're getting married. It's not about the wedding, which I'm proud of her for, even though they've been planning this wedding forever. But she doesn't know whether they're going to be able to have guests or no guests at all. And that's kind of a, you know, but everyone's in that boat. You know, we have to remember, if we start feeling sorry for ourselves, we have to remember there's millions of people that are in this same boat right now. And try to take the things that are positive. Try to find something in the day that you can grab a hold of. One thing I've found that I'm able to do is, I'm just noticing it lately, is I'm able to sit down and read without skimming. I'm usually in such a hyper mode of everything I'm doing that when I read something, I sit down and I skim it. Well, the neat thing is now, as I sit there and I read, I'm able to slow down and pay attention when I'm reading, because you know what? What's the rush? There's no rush to go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. And that's kind of a neat thing in a way. I thought it was funny seeing the, it's not ha-ha funny, but, you know, the rush on the meat lockers to get meat when everyone was afraid. It was interesting. I've actually got some meat to pick up on Friday, because I had it in ahead of time. And but my son-in-law and daughter were trying to get some meat in for her wedding, for my granddaughter's wedding, and to get it processed and get a steer processed. And they had the guy told them that in a 3-day period, after they talked about the meat shortage on the news, in a 3-day period they went from being booked through the end of April to being booked through the end of September in 3 days. And now they're booked like through the end of the year, because anyone and everyone that had a knew someone that would sell them beef or pork or whatever actually went and...
I was going to say, the other day I seen this, and I know you had talked about it. They talked about these farmers, you know, like dumping all this milk and stuff. But then they talked about a hog. They said right now, they said they're like 150, like really cheap, like $150 or something for... is that cheap by standards of a...
Right now, if you can get a hog anywhere, the problem is where you're going to get a butcher unless you do it yourself, right? Mm. But a hog right now is about $20 a hundred weight. So at $20 a hundred weight, butcher weight is 2.5. So you're talking about $50 for a hog.
Oh, wow.
Nobody's making any money there. They're going, you know. I know several people last week. I actually know some people that have hog facilities that had to literally shoot their hogs because there was no place to put them and nothing to do. There was no room in the barn. And, you know, because of health department regulations, you can't just call up your friends and say, hey, come and get 20 hogs, because they don't allow you to do that. You know, they have that once they're in a facility, they have to stay there until they go to market. And it's because of disease protection and everything else. So it's really a sad deal. And, you know, look into that. The animal, they've been having to put animals down because there's nowhere to take them, because that is why the president made the order to open up the processing facilities and told them they had to open, because hogs, everything was just being, it just wasn't working. And then I found out day before yesterday when Tyson doesn't just do chickens, they also, they have some massive plants, and there was, I found out there were 30 truckloads of hogs waiting the other morning to be processed, and when the plant opened, they couldn't take them because the employees didn't show up. Not enough employees showed up. But see, that's an interesting thing too, because if you're getting 70% of your wage on unemployment plus $600 a week kicked into that, these people are getting more money than they did at work. So, you know, it's really, some of this stuff makes sense, but some of it is really balled up and kind of weird. You know, I know that, what plant was it? One of the major plants gave their people a $5,000 bonus and also a raise to get them to come back. And I'd like to get a $5,000 bonus, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah. But I don't know. It's not free money. You know, it's not going to be endless money. I mean, we as Americans got to get that through our head. You know, we're writing bad checks. I know that if I write a bad check and you write a bad check, we're going to jail. But the government writes bad checks every day, and they just tack it on to the deficit. But it will come back to bite you at some point. And, you know, I think we need to be a productive society that gets back to work. I think that, you know, with a lot of this, people are saying, you know, let's start bringing some of this manufacturing back home, you know, that's been overseas. And we were a far better off country when we manufactured our supplies, sold to our people, and, you know, you understand how that all worked. And, you know, when we opened up, there's a huge argument in our government right now, because you have people that want to make America great. They have people that want to keep America strong, keep industry here, keep jobs here. And then you have another group of politicians that are globalists, and they want everything to be a global market. And there's that argument going on. You know, who wins that argument? But I think that one thing we're seeing is that just this alone shows us the dangers in being too global. When something happens, it happens everywhere. You know, it used to be, and if you went back in the, I'm not saying we should go back to the 1940s or 50s, but if we did, and if there was an outbreak like this in China, guess where it would stay?
China.
Yeah. Or Great Britain. It'll, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But now, when we're so global, that stuff just spreads instantly everywhere. And it makes it difficult. But, you know, through all this, you know, I know God has a plan. I know I can trust God each and every day. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, and that's God. And I can trust him, and I know that, you know, regardless of what we're going through, we have it so much better off than any other generations, current, you know, the generations that are living have in the past. I mean, Americans will know true problem when the food runs out. And I think this was a wake-up call to how quick things can happen. And the food can run out. I mean, you know, you look at I'll give you an example just in this hog thing with the meat. You know, most people don't realize that a hog, when it goes to the butcher, is between 5 and 6 months old. So the point is, if guys quit producing hogs because they can't get anything done with them, in a six-month window, there's no pork out there anymore. You see what I mean? Our milk supply can disappear literally almost overnight. If you can't milk a cow, she gets mastitis and dies. I mean, she will. Or she'll at least completely get sick and then dry up and won't produce milk again. So, you know, you have those things going on. And, you know, when farmers can't make money, then, which they don't make a lot anyway, to be honest, when it comes to livestock, they don't. When they can't make it, then they start shutting facilities down. They're not producing it. And just like you ever be on a freeway and there will be an accident, and they get the accident cleared, but for the next hour, there's still a surge. You know what I'm talking about? The accident's cleared, but they're still slowing down, speeding up, because that surge travels back. It's like a wave in the ocean. And it's the same thing in production when we produce stuff in this country, is that, you know, if you stop, there's going to be a big lull where there's nothing before it can gear up again and go. And that's one of the huge things that happens with our meat, with our produce. I mean, Florida, I heard stories in Florida because, you know, they shut the state down, that they were throwing so much produce away. And other that we're going to see a spike in our produce. Well, here's a time when people can barely afford to, you know, paying more for meat, paying more for... it was funny, I was talking to my daughter last week, and she said that she had gone to the store that morning and she had to get meat, and she said they were very low on meat. And she looked around and she thought, you know what? I've got other stuff at home I can eat. I'm going to leave this meat for someone else that doesn't have it. Now, that's the attitude that we need to carry through this kind of stuff. You know, the hoarding is, come on, folks. Get over it. You know, you're going to be okay. Yeah. First of all, I have to tell you, God's not going to honor your hoarding. So you might think that you got a house full of toilet paper, but you might find out that you ran out of milk. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always think of that. I always think that, you know, when you decide to be stingy, when you decide to treat people poorly, it's just going to come back.
Well, it's weird because I was talking to a guy at work, and he was upset of the hoarding, you know, people. But then he went to Costco to try to get some, to hoard some toilet paper, and they didn't have any, so then he didn't like it. Like, it was okay. But when other people did it to him, he didn't like it.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I've since this whole thing's begun, we haven't stocked up on anything.
But before that, he was saying how, oh, it's going to be the survival of the fittest. If you're not fit, you're going to die, you know. And so then, you know, like I say, and then which led to this conversation about the toilet paper. And then all of a sudden, he goes there, and now he's on the outside looking in. So it kind of changed his whole outlook about this survival of the fittest and all.
You Sean, know. Did you happen to tell him he can't eat toilet paper? You know what I mean? And you know, people do, it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, we can all learn from this and learn to care about each other. One thing I expect to see more this summer of it, I'm going to see if this happens. I know that a lot more people are gardening, and because the stuff that's disappearing out of stores. My daughter and son-in-law are making big planters, above ground planters, and selling them. And man, they have just been getting swamped with calls. That's great for them, but because there's so many people gardening this year. But I'm anxious to see. I'll be willing to bet that when stuff starts coming on the vines regularly, people are going to be giving stuff back and forth and sharing it, and that's just huge. That people are willing to do.
That's the kind of culture we need to become.
That is the culture we need. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of culture God expects us to have.
Yeah.
One that cares more about our people around us than putting others first.
Exactly.
You know, if you put others first, it's always going to come back to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Greed does not pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, greed will eat you alive. And I've never met a greedy person that ever ended up a happy person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen a greedy person that really got that much ahead. I mean, what are you getting ahead on? You know, I think the point is we need to think of how would you want someone else to treat you? You know, maybe that's the way you need to treat them. And, you know, that's just, if we did more of that, you know, we'd all be better off. We'd all be better off. And you know, the thing, too, is, you know, I pray that people that are beginning to come to church or listen to the Word of God or maybe read their Bibles, keep it up. When things open back up, when it seems normal, believe me, you need to be with God. You need to walk with God, because that's more important than anything we have to eat, drink, walk, smell, taste, anything. and even if we get back to normal, you know, materially,
mm-hmm.
We need God in our life. If we're going to have joy and peace in our life, we need to have God in our life.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you expect to see maybe a surge in people coming to church after this? Or, is it going to be that the normal now is a lot of people go to, you know?
Yeah, I think there's some factors involved here. One, first of all, you're going to get some surge, But you're always going to get people that go right back to what they did. But I think that it will depend on how genuine people are about whether they really want to seek the Lord or not. Mm-hmm. It depends on their genuineness.
Right, sure.
And I think it also depends a lot on the church. I think if the church continues to reach out, if the church shows people love and what we call discipling, teaching people and teaching them to understand what God says and teaching them to learn about God and to walk with God, yeah, you'll see a huge stick and that'll stay. Okay. But if we're just looking for numbers to fill our churches and maybe more money to come in, we'll fail, and I hope we would.
Yeah,
because that's not what it's about.
Well, that's what I was, the point I was going to want, and you hit it right on the head, was I was thinking, is it the way the church presents itself? I mean, you know,
in a way, and it's the way the church, it's the genuineness of the church. If the church is genuine, the Lord's going to work through them, and they're going to have a genuine outcome.
Right.
If they're not genuine and they're just a glorified social club, it ain't going to fly.
That's and
it
should. That's what I was looking for. Like you said about in the early times, people used it as a meeting place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's just treated as a meeting place, then
That's all it's going to be.
But if you're
find someone better to go, and you're going to go there.
Yeah.
But you know, that is true. And people people need to find that, you know, the church is us. It's those people that have surrendered their lives to Christ. That's the true church. The church is. It's not a building.
Right.
It's people. Right. And when we understand that and plug in, it becomes part of our life. There's a huge difference when you just go to a church because, boy, I went there Sunday and the music was good and it felt great. And there, I chalked another day up. You know, I did something good for God. You know, might as well stay home, folks, because, you know, that's not why we go. We go because we want that relationship with God. And it's just, it's not a one day a week a day thing. It's an every day a week thing. And, you know, religion is different. Religion in itself is, religion can be one day a week. It can be a list of do's and don'ts. But God calls us to a relationship with Him and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And what religion out there calls you to a relationship? You see the difference?
Yeah.
And what people, that scares some people because they've done things their way so long that they're afraid of giving up their freedom. Well, guys, we're getting a huge taste right now of giving up freedom, and it can get worse. But the thing is, I haven't lost any freedom in the Lord and freedom in what I believe, freedom in what I know. I can still go to bed at night with peace on my heart as I talk to God. And I know that no matter what happens, He's there for me. And that's the greatest peace of all. So, you know, people often think that pastors, for some reason, always live this life where they had everything right. You know, and some of you watching know my past and know that as a young man, I did anything but walk with God.
Right. We all made mistakes.
And the truth is, I chose to walk with Him. And it's made a huge difference. I'm not a different person than I was back then. I mean, genuinely, I'm the same person. I have the same personality. I have the same plan for my life that God always had for my life. It's just I decided to listen. And in that listening, what comes out of that is, I mean, people that know me know. They know that I think differently. I have more compassion. I care about other people more. My life's more settled. My family comes. Where did that come from? Did it come from out of luck or pie in the sky? No. It came because I said, okay, God, not your will, but mine be done. Let's follow you and what you say. I still have more fun than I ever had in my life because that other stuff was pseudo fun. You know, a lot of it is masking.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the guy that goes out, he's got all the problems in the world. And he goes out, you know, on a Friday night and just gets blasted. Well, Friday night's great. He's acting a fool. He's getting blasted. Everybody's friend in the place. Then he wakes up the next morning, and he wakes up, and his head's pounding, and he reaches in his pocket and feels a pocket full of change and opens his wallet, and there's no bills. And, wow, he wasn't having fun. He was masking what was really going on. What would have happened if he'd have gone home and done what he was supposed to and got real? You see the difference? You know, you begin to grow, you begin to learn, you begin to put childish things away. And Scripture tells us that. You know, when I'm a child, I think like a child, right? when I become a man, I think like a man, I walk like a man, I do the things a man does. Mm-hmm. And it's that maturity in our life we've got to come to at some point. No one's asked anyone to quit having fun. You know, you see with me with four or five of my buddies together, and we crack up more than I've ever cracked up in my life. We're just as stinking ornery. You know, we have just as much fun, but we do it in a way that is different than a way that maybe I did it in my 20s. And I have more fun now because there's no negative repercussions from the fun that I'm having.
This is genuine fun.
It's genuine fun.
Yeah,
I can do it without ending up blowing money, without spending bill money, without pretending I'm happier than I am, getting into trouble for being gone longer and somewhere I shouldn't. You know, all those kind of things that people do, and they think they're having fun, and they just aren't.
And along the way, I mean, the relationships that you make.
You make great relationships. I make relationships now that I keep.
That's what I'm saying.
And I make relationships that I'll have for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
Back then,
In the 20s, I mean, you know.
I used to tell people I was a demolitions expert. And they look at me and say, what are you talking about? I see, yep, I burn bridges and blow them up everywhere I go. And you do in a lot of cases.
Absolutely.
And it's great. I'll tell you something really great now, though. As I get older, I'm finding, what time we got?
We got about 10 minutes.
As I get older, I'm finding that so many more of my friends I knew when I was younger that were a lot like me have also found the Lord and are walking with the Lord.
Good.
And we've renewed friendships as older people. And, man, that's fantastic. Yeah. Man, there's some guys out there that are living for God that blows my mind. I never would have thought they would have. And I'm sure they looked at me and thought, he never will.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing, and it's wonderful because what's wonderful about that is we all know where we came from.
Right.
We don't even talk about where we came from. We already know.
Yeah.
And we don't throw it up to each other. But because of what we know, and we know what God did in our life, it's a really kind of a cool relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, isn't it neat how one person like God can bring so many people together, like you said, so many people you would never think, but all now have the same common goal.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And they care about their relationships. They care about their spouse.
More
they care about their grandchildren.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, what a difference. And then there's that other side that I see. And there's a lot of people that I'm 62. I'll be 62 in June, I think. I'm sure I'll get corrected when I get home if I'm not. But anyway, I think I'm going to be 61 at 2. Anyway, there's several people when I look and I see my age. I get the report from the town I grew up in. You know, there's a guy that keeps track of deaths and whatnot, and he messages everyone. And I see those people that have stayed on that path that was wrong and are still doing the things they did in their 20s. And I'll tell you what, Terry, they've been dropping like flies for the last 5 years and leaving in their wake unhappy families, broken homes, divided families.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
But then I look at those ones that said, you know what, it's time to grow up. It's time to make my life count. It's time for me to figure out what it was God wanted me to do. And they're enjoying life. They're enjoying their family. I mean, hey, it's a win-win. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad boss or get fired. But it means when those things happen, you know the Lord's walking right beside you and he's got you.
Yeah.
He closes, one door closes, he's going to open another one. And you know that. You can look forward to what's next because you know God's got things. You know, when you don't have that and things fall apart, you know, you just drown in your sorrow and in your misery. And it's a wonderful thing to know God and know that you don't have to worry about that.
Well, I mean, I think it's just a peace of mind, you know, knowing that, you know, your life, the structure in your life is obviously so much better, you know, because
you know, my biggest
it
concern
has a
purpose is
now, you know, I mean,
my biggest concern is now are my, all my family, my nieces, my nephews, people that I know, are they going to finally realize what God's revealed to me and to all of us that know him and follow him? And are they going to know that joy? And it's my greatest desire on earth for that to happen. To when I come in contact with people and I share with them, for them to get it, just to get it and say, okay, yes, Lord, I want to follow. And when I see those that do, like a nephew of mine a couple months ago, and others that have. I see that. I think, yeah, thank you, Lord. You know, because now they're going to know exactly what I was talking about.
Good.
And their lives are going to be changed. And what's really cool about that is that your life doesn't just change. People's lives around you, generationally, things change.
I was just going to say your family's lives, everybody.
Everyone changed. Yeah. I look at my father's family and, you know, the outcome. I've got all these cousins that I know that I love dearly that all know the Lord, love the Lord. And the generation or two before that, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that those men, those seven boys and those six boys in that family, you know, started taking their kids to church and they accepted the Lord and their family. And now I have all these cousins that it's great. We can have, you know, my cousin Mary called me today or messaged me today. She says, please, 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 Steve, will you pray for me? Here's the situation. I really need prayer. Isn't that great? You know, and I could share with her my thoughts on what was going on and assured her that I would be praying continually for her. You know, what a blessing that is to her and a blessing to me that I can do that. But, you know, you can only do that if you decide, you know what, I'm going to follow God.
Yeah.
I'm going to surrender to Christ. And everything in the world is going to tell you not to, or, oh, well, that's a scary step to take.
Yeah.
You know, everything in the world is going to tell you that, oh, man, I'm going to lose my fun. I'm going to lose my friends.
Yeah. And, or I was going to say, oh, you're one of them, you always say, oh, you're one of them, you know. And
when I decided that it was time to follow the Lord, and I told Shirley this would happen because I knew it would, we never lost a friend. Because all the people that quit coming around or wanting anything to do with us, they weren't friends to begin with. Because if they were, they would have been happy for us and happy for the life change instead of bummed out because we weren't doing what they did anymore.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, the real friends never left. And I have to tell you, they were few and far between, though.
Good.
But the new ones that you gain because of that are lifelong. Mm-hmm. And that's huge.
Yeah. Well, and your new ones now, you know at any given time, if you call them, they're there.
They're there.
You know.
They're there. And you know the other thing about the new ones is? The new ones is that if I start messing up, they care. They truly care about enough here that they're going to come and say, hey, Steve, you know, I'm a little worried about this. I need to talk to you. Hey, buddy, you okay?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you ought to go down this. Hey, I was thinking about this. And I don't know if you should do. You know, those are true friends.
Yes.
The other ones would just say, whatever.
Yeah. Dude, it sounds cool. Do it. You know.
Yeah. You know, as long as he's worse than me, I can feel good about myself, you know, right? And, you know, there's a lot of that that goes on.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, having that life with the Lord is just so different, and I wish more people would understand it. And I think if more people understood it, I think that, and walked in it, they'd share it more. And, you know, the Bible talks about, I heard someone on the radio say something today that was kind of important. The Bible talks about us being salt and light in the world. And light in the world, obviously, is a light to the world. And salt is that thing that gives things flavor. And we need to give the world the flavor of Christ to know God. But you're not salt and light by putting on a beautiful new hairdo and looking nice and carrying a Bible. You're salt and light by being active in the world. You're salt and light by taking the message to the streets, taking the message to people, and showing love and showing grace, forgiveness. My message was on
that
Sunday.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, long suffering. That means willing to suffer long for someone or a situation or whatever you're in. Because what ultimately comes out of it is so great that you're willing to do that. It doesn't have to be your way all the time. You don't always have to get your way. But when you start serving God and He allows you to serve other people, your life becomes so worthwhile that you love it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean I don't have arthritic pains that drive me up a wall? No.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that, you know, my shoulder kept me up half the night last night? No. Of course, the bottom line is my peace doesn't come from how I feel. And I wouldn't trade me for anybody right now. And I'm not the smartest guy. I'm certainly not the prettiest. I'm definitely not the tallest. But God, I'm God's, and God made me. And for the rest of my life, I want Him to use me how He's going to use me. And that's what makes me happy. See, that's how that works. And, you know, there's nothing in life. The greatest thing you can ever know in life is true peace. And true peace comes through him and him putting that peace in your heart, not from going out and finding every other week something to charge you up so you feel better. You know what I mean? I've done that. You know, I think I grew up from my youth, and I don't want to do that anymore. And it's available to everyone out there. You see that? You can. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful place to be. I'm certainly nothing special, but I'm special in God's eyes. And I've been special since the day I was born. I just had to realize that and accept him. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker at Community Christian Fellowship. I encourage you, Sunday, our message will be live again because we won't be able to meet. But it is at Community Christian Fellowship on the Facebook page. Or Steve Whitaker, you can go to that page. I usually copy it onto there. Or this page on the pastor spot, I can do that too. But please get on there and listen. And if you have any questions at all or desire to talk to me at all, the number is 740-494-2222. Call the church, leave a message. I will get back with you. If I don't, I'll get in trouble. But no, I will get back because I want to. I desire to get back with you. And hey, I care about all you guys. God bless each and every one of you. And we'll be back again next week, won't we, Terry?
Yes, we will.
Thank you so much.
God bless everybody.
You're listening to WWJ.